Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 105 of the Attractions Podcast, sponsored by Destinations with Character Travel. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Seth.
And we're here to talk to you about the latest and greatest in theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. And as you can see or hear, if you're listening to the audio version, Seth is back.
I missed you so much.
I missed you.
But I did not necessarily miss Florida humidity. I got to spend 10 days or so in the Northeast. And being able to breathe the air is a really nice change. And I also got to pay a visit to one of my favorite regional parks. I stopped by Hershey Park. Did not actually go inside Hershey Park. I just sort of watched the new roller coaster from outside the gates and ate an overpriced chocolate-themed lunch. And rode the free Hershey Dark Ride, which is probably the best free dark ride in the world. So check it out next time you're in central Pennsylvania.
That sounds awesome. Or did you have a particularly favorite Hershey treat or meal while you were there?
We had actually some barbecue chicken wings that were seasoned with chocolate barbecue sauce. And that was pretty darn tasty. I also had an old-fashioned made with peanut butter whiskey.
Oh, wow.
Nice and smooth. Big thumbs up. And I also, right after I came back, got to do an annual pass holder preview of the Ratatouille ride at Epcot. So exactly as I remembered it in Paris. It's still a really charming ride. Kind of going back and forth whether I like it better than Runaway Railway, but it's sort of in that same tier. Really adorable, got some decent re-ride value. You know, it's not Rise of the Resistance, but it's a lot of fun.
I have to ask this, and I'm sure it's a stupid question.
There are no stupid questions.
Is it in English? No,
that is an excellent question, and
it's
I was shocked. It is a brilliant question because the original version, I'd say, was about 60% French, 40% English.
Okay.
And the new version is the exact same soundtrack. They did not redub anything. They certainly did not reanimate any lips. It is the cheapest possible duplication that they possibly could have done. Yeah, so there are going to be a lot of kids probably riding this in Florida, wondering what that strange language that they keep talking. Luckily, it was designed so that there's just enough of the English dialogue that you can get through it. And, you know, you're in a French restaurant. Most of the time, you can't understand anything they're saying, whether it's you know, English or French. So I don't know if it's going to have people complaining at guest services, but I was a little surprised that they did not, depending on your point of view, either spend the money to Americanize it or dumb it down. But yeah, you're getting the authentic Disneyland Paris experience minus the really cool restaurant at the end.
Okay. I was curious because I'd watched through ride-through videos, of course, and I was like, I swear I hear French ride audio in it.
Yes, absolutely.
But I didn't know if I was just like myself.
No. We rode it three times, and it was nice to be able to do that during the annual pass holder preview, because I'm never going to get to ride it more than once in a day again.
No.
I was very surprised that it's appears to be the exact same soundtrack that they used in Paris.
Okay. Did you get to try any crepes?
No, crepes shop was closed.
What?
Going to have to head back there, I guess, after October 1st to try the crepes, because they do look tasty. I actually really like savory crepes, especially ones with salmon. So
the savory ones are huge.
Yeah, they look ginormous. It's like a full meal. Yep. I'm excited.
Well, I can't wait till I can get down there and eat my fill and listen to the French audio.
So how was your week?
As you can see, my life is in shambles. I'm just kidding. I moved while you were gone. So if the audio isn't super great and my visual isn't super great, I apologize, but I am in the process. So have mercy on me.
I'm just gonna put a sheet up behind your chair.
Yes, it'll be like the old 2010s like YouTube days. Let's get into the news.
Let's do it.
Well, hopefully that worked.
It sure did.
Okay,
Perfect.
great. First thing up, something I'm super excited and surprised about is Raya from Raya and the Last Dragon is now doing meet and greets at Shanghai Disneyland.
I don't believe there are any plans yet to bring this character to Walt Disney World or any of the other parks, but it's a shame. Because from the photographs, this looks like a really great way version of taking a CGI animated character and making a human face character and not one of those creepy big-headed plastic things.
I do not like those.
No, not at all. No, the whoever they cast for this looks the part, absolutely.
Yeah, she looks great. I would love to see this come to the States, if only so I could see Kelly Marie Tran meet her. Because Kelly is an angel on earth, and I feel like that interaction would be super wholesome. But if you ever get a chance to make your way over to Shanghai Disneyland, assuming that they have her beyond the point where people can travel into the country and stuff, you can find her at the selfie spot at Happy Circle in Adventure Isle. So keep an eye out or just head over to Instagram.
Gonna say we had Mulan, but I don't think Mulan makes regular appearances anywhere in the parks right now, and just not enough opportunities for Asian actresses who want to be princesses. So
Yeah.
I'm all for more Raya.
Bring Raya. She's so cool. Put her in Animal Kingdom. Put
Sure.
her in Animal Kingdom. It would be perfect. Next up, if you are a fan of Christian rock music, Universal Orlando's Rock the Universe 2022 tickets are on sale now, with the festival returning January 28th through the 30th of next year.
I actually attended the very last one of these that was held, I guess it was now 2 years ago, on behalf of Attractions Magazine. I'm Jewish. I'm not the target audience for this. It's not really my music, but it was actually it was a fun event. To be honest, I remember back in the day when I was a Universal employee, everyone was a lot more scared of working Rock the Universe than Mardi Gras or Halloween
Oh no.
because of the reputation that the crowd had for getting a little wild. But it was very, very respectful. Jesus would have been proud of the of every everyone I saw at least. They've got some big names, Casting Crowns, which if you are into Christian rock music, you know that name. And if you don't know that name, you can ride roller coasters with some Christian rock music.
Yeah, I mean, at night and enjoy some food and all that jazz. Tickets start at $129.99 plus tax, but they include access to Universal Studios Florida and Islands of Adventure, which is cool. And then if you are part of a youth ministry or like a youth group at your church, they can get a group rate for $195 per person for groups of 10 or more. That include a hotel stay, a souvenir picture, all that jazz.
And so even if you are not interested in attending this, you might want to mark down those dates, January 28th and 30th, to maybe not plan your own vacation
Yes.
or your own visit that weekend if this is not something you're interested in.
All right, next up, the Los Angeles Haunted Hayride is back for the 2021 season, starting September 24th, just a few days away.
I have never gotten to attend this, but I have heard about it over the years. They've got haunted mazes and scare zones, just like your typical theme park attraction. But the real highlight, the thing that makes it special is the haunted hayride through the park. And this year, everything's got a 1985 theme. I guess Stranger Things made the mid-80s popular again when it comes to horror. So you're gonna get to be a victim riding through Midnight Falls, and you are going to have an encounter with the Witch of the Woods, who summoned spirits of the underworld to take the form of Halloween decorations come to life. So if you're in the LA area and you've already exhausted the Halloween Horror Nights at Universal and Knott's Berry Farms, Scary Farm, this is definitely one to put on your list.
And it's super affordable too, with tickets only $30 for the hayride itself and $35 if you want to do the mazes, and then $55 if you want kind of a VIP treatment with expedited wait time. So not quite front of the line, but a shorter wait. And then $109.99 for VIP tickets with immediate entry. So.
Yeah, I mean, compared to getting a ticket with Express Pass for one of the big theme park events, that's very reasonable.
And then you can also book a private hayride if you're feeling extra spooky, if you have up to 30 friends that want to do that with you, which sounds really cool, because could you imagine booking like a private Halloween haunted house experience?
I think that would be really cool, but I'm pretty sure that I do not know 30 people that I would want to sit in hay with.
Neither.
No.
But if you do check this out, please tweet at us pictures if you go, because the character designs at least look very cool.
Yeah.
I would love to see what the
Great, great
mazes look like.
promo art. I hope the real thing lives up to these great photos.
Yes. Speaking of photos, one of our reporters, Carly Carmona, recently went out to what will be Sesame Place San Diego and got some photos for us, as well as the news that the park will open in March 2022.
So Sesame Place is the name originally of the Sesame theme park that is in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, that I grew up going to as a kid. When I originally heard they were going to be building a Sesame Place in San Diego, I had visions in my head of something on that scale. It looks more like what they were doing is basically copying the Sesame Street land that is in SeaWorld Orlando, which is adorable, but it's a land and not a whole theme park, and plopping it right down next to what was their Aquatica theme park, which is getting their water slides rethemed after some of the Sesame characters. So it's going to be sort of a tiny dry park next to a moderately sized water park to create one whole Sesame Street experience.
And that includes Super Grover's Boxcar Derby, which is a kid-friendly roller coaster that looks very cute. They had some of the cars stationed on the hot pink roller coaster track for the journalists to take photos of, and each of the cars is themed to a different Sesame Street monster, so like Cookie Monster, Elmo, Abby Cadabby. I think I see Rosita in there somewhere. But it looks very cute.
Yeah, it's a perfect toddler's first roller coaster, and very similar to a Wacky Worm style roller coaster that they have in SeaWorld Orlando's Sesame Place. I imagine there'll be maybe some other flat rides to accompany the water rides that they're going to be repurposing from Aquatica. But so if you're looking for something that is as elaborate or educational as the Sesame Place in Pennsylvania, you might be a little disappointed, but this does, looks like it's probably going to compare on scale to maybe the Peppa Pig world that they're building out in Legoland.
Yes, shout out to Legoland.
Yeah.
This one was an emotional roller coaster, I think, on all levels. First, we heard that Finding Nemo the musical was being shuttered forever at Disney's Animal Kingdom.
Well, if you heard that, you probably need to prune your social media feed. That's all I'm saying. You might need to do. If you're hearing people insist that it was absolutely closing forever, then you need to maybe do some unsubscribing. That's all I'm saying.
And then, lo and behold, Disney came out and said that it is only closing in its current form.
Yeah.
And
Now, this is one of those Obi-Wan Kenobi, you know, it's true from a certain point of view. You know, the old Finding Nemo show betrayed and murdered the new Finding Nemo musical.
I don't remember that happening in Star Wars.
So this is really hard for the cast, because if you follow some of the cast members, long-term cast members on social media, many of them have posted that, you know, their time with Finding Nemo is done, and it's really emotional for them. There are people who worked on the show for a decade or more, the show will come back in another form, not until 2022. And I imagine that there's going to be probably new auditions, new casting, new direction. Disney's been very kind of cautious about saying exactly what the show will be. We do know that at least two of the songs from the old version, Big Blue World and Go With the Flow, in other words, the two songs that you have stuck in your head over and over again from the show, will still be around. So that's good news for fans of those songs. And we can imply from the photos they've released, there will still be puppets involved. They've not shown a picture of the giant Nigel puppet. I personally will revolt if Nigel is gone.
It's such a good big puppet too.
It's gorgeous. The two things that they have not said, but I am willing to go out on a limb and predict, one is that it will be a smaller cast. It's a very labor-intensive show. There are a lot of well-paid union actors on stage, and so my guess is that they will redesign it to have fewer people they have to pay. And my second prediction is that it will be shorter, because as good as the show was, there were a lot of complaints that it was just too long for kids to sit through. 40 plus minutes is just very long for a theme park show. The only thing I can ever think that was longer than it was the Frozen musical in Disney California Adventure, and that's also permanently closed.
So I think such a good show too.
Yeah, it was a very high quality show, but it was also one of those things that was, you know, the Aladdin show was a great show, but it managed to really condense the story and get in and get out. Frozen was like an hour long. It was epic. And I think that they want something, 20-25 minutes is probably about the perfect length for a theme park show. Just enough time for people to get off their feet and catch their breath, but you can turn the theater over and get a new crowd in there and keep the capacity up. That's my bold prediction. It will be smaller, it will be shorter, but past that we're gonna have to wait until next year to find out.
Do you think they would ever go with non-union for this?
I don't know what their overall contract with Equity allows and what kind of roles exactly they can get away with having be non-union performers. I don't know the details of the contract well enough, but I'm pretty sure they're going to do whatever they can to save money, because it was a very ambitious, expensive show to run.
I will say, as a fan, I was really sad to see that it was potentially closing, but I'm glad that it will come back in some form or fashion with my favorite song of the whole show.
Yes. Hopefully it won't be a karaoke and a song puppet.
Oh, jeez. I don't want please. But keep an eye out. For 2022.
Yep.
Over at Disney's Contemporary Resort, we have an opening date for Steakhouse 71, the new high-end steak restaurant in the hotel. It will open on October 1st, along with everything else in Walt Disney World.
This is my surprised face. Something opening on October 1st?
Not Tron, not Guardians. but the menus look really great. Very yummy.
So I think that this is... All right, so let's talk about the boilerplate. Steakhouse 71. It is both a reference to the year that the resort opened, and also kind of a reference to the Steakhouse 55, which used to be at the Disneyland Hotel out in Anaheim, which is now permanently closed. Pour one out for them. And it's got breakfast, lunch, and dinner menus priced a la carte. Prices are not on these menus that we have, but it's actually not as expensive as I thought it might have been. It's not quite Fleming's or Ruth Chris. It's a little more expensive than Outback. And I think Outback is probably a good comparison when you look at the the kind of cuts of steaks that they're offering. Personally, I'm a little let down that it's not the gourmet experience that Steakhouse 55 was trying to be. There's no cold water lobster by the pound on the menu. There's no caviar on the menu. There isn't even a bone-in ribeye. You got a choice of tenderloin medallions, you don't order tenderloin medallions outside of a wedding. so you basically got to pick between a filet mignon and a 10-ounce New York strip. The top sirloin is basically your Outback special. There's a pork chop. The prime rib, I'm hoping, is going to be their specialty. Hopefully, it's not easy to do a really good prime rib. So if that's good, that'll probably be my go-to. But, there's no tomahawk chop. There's no bone-in ribeye. You're going to have to go to Boathouse over at Disney Springs, I think, if you really want an upscale steak and seafood experience. The best you're going to get is a shrimp cocktail.
I'm happy to see at least one veggie entree on the menu,
yes.
Though.
Vegan Wellington made with mushroom and artichokes, puff pastries. That actually sounds pretty good. If I went there, my wife would probably order that.
Yeah, because I was a little worried, like a steakhouse restaurant, they're going to have like a salad.
Yeah. Yeah, but it is literally there's vegan onion rings and vegan Wellington, and that's pretty much it.
I was just gonna say, it's a little disappointing that there's only one veggie menu or one thing on each menu, and all you get for breakfast is breakfast potatoes. And it's only on request.
Yeah, I'm not gonna be making a special trip. This is what used to be the Wave at the Contemporary. And the Wave was kind of more famous for their breakfast than any of their other meals. And it doesn't look to me, based on this menu, that people are going to be going out of their way necessarily to eat here for breakfast. It's pretty much all your standards.
Yeah.
They do have avocado toast. So if that's still on trend this week, I have to check. I don't think it is. But if you're still into avocado toast, you can stop by.
I like avocado toast, but caramelized onion jam is suspicious.
A good onion jam. I do like a good onion jam.
Well, then you try it. Well,
maybe I'll try it. I'll let you know.
That, and then get the space steak at Space 220 later.
Oh, I think I have to set my alarm so I can try to get a reservation for Space 220, because those open up on the 20th. That's tomorrow.
Oh, well, there you go. I just reminded you.
Yeah.
And more dining at Walt Disney World. They've announced some new Disney Enchantment dining packages for you to salivate over and try to get, and probably not yet, because they'll go so fast.
Everyone will complain about them and their price, and then they will snap them all up. the celebration at the top, subtitled 50th Flavors and Fireworks at Disney's Contemporary Resort, is going to kick off on October 2nd, and reservations for that are available now. They start on September 17th. And so if you sign up for this, you're going to get to go up to the private rooms at the top of the Contemporary Resort. It's the Sonoma and Napa rooms at the California Grill. These are beautiful because I actually got married or had a wedding reception in them once a long, long time ago. Beautiful space to hang out and have some specialty drinks, some sushi from the sushi bar, small plates, with food that nods to the resort's opening in 71, what they call an elevated cocktail hour. And at the end of that,
I don't know what that means.
I think it is a cocktail hour that is extremely expensive. I think that's what that means. But you're going to get to walk outside onto the observation deck and on the 15th floor. Have that amazing view of the Magic Kingdom and get to watch Disney Enchantment, which is the new fireworks show. They will pipe in the music, so it'll be all synced up. And afterwards, you get to go back inside and have a dessert and some cocktails and coffee. It sounds like an absolutely amazing experience, and those will definitely get snapped up real quick.
Out of all of these that we're going to talk about, I think that's the one that I would splurge on if I had to pick any of these.
Absolutely, 100%. Yep.
The next one, so long as I don't cut out here, is the Magic Kingdom 50th Fireworks Dessert Parties. There's a pre-party and a treats and seats party, and then a post-party dessert party.
Yeah, it basically seems like if you want to be able to actually sit in a chair at the Tomorrowland Terrace, then you want to go for treats and seats. And that way you get fed beforehand. The interesting thing is that it does include beer and wine. So this is a way to get beer and wine inside the Magic Kingdom without having a reservation for a sit-down restaurant. and then you will get to actually sit down and have a reserved seat at Tomorrowland Terrace. If you don't mind standing, you can get a spot in the Plaza Gardens for the Disney Enchantment After Party. And then afterwards, get to eat some cheese, have some drinks, again, beer and wine.
And the same goes for the pre-party as well, except you would be eating before the fireworks instead of after.
So basically, eat before and get a seat, or stand and eat afterwards.
Yes. And then if you want to ride the ferry boat while the fireworks are going off, there is Fairy Tale Fireworks, a sparkling dessert cruise. Reservations are available now, and they started offering this officially yesterday at the time that we're recording this, September 18th. You can sail away from the Transportation and Ticket Center on one of the Magic Kingdom ferry boats and enjoy all sorts of sweets. Build your own mousse, key lime tarts, cupcakes. There's also an ultraviolet scavenger hunt while on board. And you can enjoy the fireworks with waterfront views.
You know, this is a little interesting. You know, for years they've had fireworks cruises on small private craft out in the lagoon. But, you know, I can't remember if before they've taken one of the transportation ferries out of service so they can have an upsell experience on it. I wonder what that's going to do to capacity, how quickly, you know, because people head out the door. People leave the Magic Kingdom the second those fireworks are over. And, you know, normally they need all the ferries they can get in order to get everyone back over the Transportation Ticket Center. Yeah. So I'm really curious what taking this ferry out of service for this event is going to do to their transportation capacity.
And with the only thing that's really comparable to this that I can remember is the Pirates and Pals fireworks cruises.
Yes.
And those were always on pontoon boats.
Yes, the much smaller pontoon boats. I've never seen them use the big ferries for this before. So if you go on this event, check it out. Or if you're stuck sitting trying to wait for a ferry for 2 hours while this event is going on, please tweet us and let us know.
Yeah. And then if you are excited for Harmonious, like I am, there are also two new dining packages that you can choose from to kind of elevate your nighttime spectacular experience. One being at the Rose and Crown, starts on October 1st, and the other being Spice Road Table, which also starts on October 1st.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about these two. One, the Rose and Crown, that means that one of my favorite spots is not going to be accessible without paying for a package. Because the little, that garden, that outdoor terrace behind the Rose and Crown is one of the best places you can possibly watch fireworks at Epcot from. I've always loved that. Spice Road Table, I feel like it was designed on paper to have good views of the fireworks, but, you know, unless the setup for this is drastically different than it has been for Illuminations and Epcot Forever, very few of the tables at Spice Road actually have a good view of the center of the lagoon. There's really only a handful of ones that are outdoors directly on the waterfront. Most of them are blocked by poles or overhangs or trees on the island, and I'm curious how many of these tables they're going to sell as having good views versus how many of them actually have good views.
Only including two small plates, so that I would assume that's like one a piece if it's two people. A dessert platter and then unlimited beverages, of course, but that doesn't seem like a lot.
Well, they do have a nice wine selection, so depending on what's included, that unlimited beverages, I'm pretty sure I could make that work. their small plates are actually a fairly decent size. You're probably gonna have to order a couple more if you're gonna make this dinner. I'm actually a pretty big fan of the Spice Road Table food, and I wish more people would check it out, because I'm always the only person in there, and I'm afraid they're just going to eventually close it down because no one eats there.
Fun fact, that was the last Disney table service meal I had before I moved. Aww. Yeah.
Well, they've mixed it up a lot. It's a lot more tapas. They got rid of some of the more elaborate entrees, but I really like all the small dishes that they have now.
Genevieve says the cauliflower.
Yes. Yes.
I'm sold. I love cauliflower. But you can book those starting September 23rd and snap those up, because those will go. Over at Epcot, continuing on, we've got photos of the reimagined Club's Cool and the brand new Creations Shop to go through.
I just happened to have my annual pass holder preview reservation to experience Ratatouille at Epcot on the same day that this happened to open. And I was all excited to check these out in person. I did get to check out the Creation Shop in person. We could talk about that in a second. Club Cool, the closest I got to that was asking how long the line was to get in. And when they said at least 30 minutes, I decided I cannot justify standing in a line for 30 minutes to get a thimbleful of disgusting bitter soda water, even if it is free. I'll wait a long time in line for something that's free, but not Beverly. I'm sorry.
They have new flavors now.
They
though.
Do, and I'm actually really excited to try some of them. There's a cucumber Sprite.
Yes.
There's a couple flavors that look like they're a lot of fun. There's one that's got lychee in it, and I, you know, a couple Club Cool back when it was, the original Club.
The
Cool
one with the caveman in it.
Yes. There was a soda with lychee flavor that I really liked.
I'm
happy to try the new selections as soon as that line dies down a little.
There's one that I'm going to need you to try. I think it's the China soda. It apparently tastes like barbecue chips.
Okay. What will you give me for trying this?
My respect.
Oh, I don't have it already. That's good to know. I'm glad to know where I stand. All right. We'll negotiate off camera.
Yes, but I'm very sad that they got rid of Vegeta Beta. That was my
Yeah.
favorite.
That's pretty
That
good.
one hurt. And now you can't get it anywhere.
I like the watermelon. Is there a watermelon based one now?
I
No,
think
I'm
there
not
is a
sure. Good.
watermelon one. I'm pretty sure. But very excited to try the new flavors. I think it's very funny that they got rid of all of the old ones except for Beverly.
Beverly. The one
Beverly
that
will
everyone
never,
loves to hate.
it will never die. And then moving on to Creation Shop, which you actually did get to do. What are your thoughts on?
Well, here's the thing. If you are looking for a quirky shop full of details and character and theme, this ain't it. It is big and bright and open and very easy to navigate, very clear exactly where everything is. I can't tell you how many times I went into the old Mouse Gear looking for something in particular and just wandering around aimlessly, trying to find someone to help me. This is visually much more open. As a retail experience, it's much more efficient. But it's definitely lost a lot of the character of the old shop. The most important thing I think about the new shop, one is there's a bunch of fun new retro style Epcot gear. If you want to outfit yourself so that you look like you're a jogger in a post-apocalyptic utopia, or a janitor who works after hours at World of Motion, I guess. They've got all sorts of windbreakers and hats and stuff to outfit you. And a lot of it's bright, it's colorful, it's fun, it's bold. It's very on trend. I think that the most important thing about the Creation Shop is that they are testing out a self-service checkout system that I got to try when we were in Anaheim. They first tested out at the Elias and Company shop at the exit of California Adventure, and now they're testing it here at the Creation Shop. And basically, you just scan a QR code to get to the page in the app. You just scan the barcodes of everything you want to buy, pay for it right in the app, and all you have to do is show your receipt and your bag, your handful of stuff to an employee without having to wait for a cashier, and you're out the door. And especially in a shop like this where you see people, they've set two item per person maximums for some of the collectible items, but you still see people loading up, multiple shopping carts, just piling things on. You've got lines, long lines for the cashiers, even if there aren't lines to actually get into the shop. So definitely check out that self-service scanning system because that can save you some big time.
That's great to know. And I have to comment on the collections, the light and color. They're really high quality, like on trend garment pieces. Like something I would not expect Disney to spend the money on to develop. And
And they're
sure.
priced accordingly.
Yes.
Stuff ain't cheap. The day of the $12 t-shirt is long gone.
And I mean, it's like a Disney, it's a joke in our household that Disney will make a really cool t-shirt and they'll slap a logo like at a 35 degree angle on the lower left side toward the hem and make it just absolutely unwearable. So the fact that they avoided that with this is really cool. Like there are some pieces that I actually would be like, I would buy this. And also, thanks to the Tim Tracker on Twitter, I learned that the pocket on the jogger jacket can fit a 13-inch MacBook. So
13, that's an impressive pocket.
it's very big. But yeah, if you happen to need a coat to carry your MacBook around Epcot, there you go.
There you go.
And in our last bit of news for this week, a big change is coming to Roger Rabbit's cartoon Spin that is effectively putting one Jessica Rabbit as the new star of the attraction.
I need to claim credit for this. This is my fault because I had finished the very last corrections for my Disneyland book and 2 hours later, the first news article about this change came across. So that's every time I finish a book that prompts Disney to change something just to annoy me.
It's like they have a spider sense. Like, oh, Seth just turned his book in.
pretty much. And this, I don't think this was on anyone's radar, really. Like, when we talked about what the, you know, problematic attractions at Disneyland, you know, Jungle Cruise, yes. Pirates, yes. I don't think anyone was particularly upset, but you know, there was that moment of Jessica Rabbit being tied up and shoved into the trunk of a car,
yeah,
which, you know, not super kid friendly.
No.
Not that I think very many kids were scarred by it, but what I think is interesting is that they are using this to give the ride. It's not so much that they're replacing the storyline. The ride never really had very much of a storyline. Like, basically, they spill some dip, you're spinning out of control and going through Toontown, and that's pretty much what it is. Whereas if this can give the ride a little bit more of a plot, a little bit more of a through line, and add more Jessica Rabbit, who personally is one of my favorite characters, then I'm all for it. I know that there's been some complaints online because we see complaints online anytime anything changes in any way, shape, or form. But I'm definitely willing to wait to see when all these are done and exactly how big the changes are. The one thing we do know for sure is that Baby Herman does not seem to be smoking his cigar anymore.
Josh was
probably
very upset about that.
Probably long overdue. I mean, Disney has been systematically, like, if they did not let Rod Serling smoke in the Twilight Zone ride, they do not let Walt Disney smoke in any of the footage they use of him in, you know, documentary. I'm surprised they let an infant, even a cartoon infant, he could still get cartoon lung cancer.
Is Baby Herman actually a baby? I always thought he was
like a grown man
that looked like a baby.
He is, yes. Philosophically, you are absolutely correct. He is a 50-year-old man trapped in an infant's body, but it's still not healthy at any age.
Don't smoke cigars, kids.
No.
We have seen these changes start to take place already, and some eagle-eyed vloggers actually found it before I think it was really reported on, and then it happened after the fact. Jessica, as you mentioned earlier, she's tied up and put in a trunk of a car by the weasels. And now when you come across that scene, she's not there anymore, and instead in the trunk of the car are barrels of dip.
Right. Which hopefully will make more sense once we know the rest of the plot.
Yeah. And then they, it was reported from Disney spokespeople that they said that the finale scene would also be changed. And they put out this kind of like Toontown extra, you know, breaking news bulletin talking about Jessica Rabbit becoming a PI, which I think is cute. You know, it nods to Eddie Valiant from the movie. And I really hope they put her in this outfit.
Yes. I hope there's an animatronic of her in that outfit at the
end. A new one.
You know, the original or current finale of the attraction is this mirror illusion where Roger pulls out a portable hole gag and creates an exit for you to drive through. So I'm not sure if this is going to replace that or be in addition to it. But it's already one of the better finales of a Disneyland dark ride, so I'm curious to see how it gets plussed.
I also know that this is like wishful thinking, but I think it would be really cool to have a character like Jessica Rabbit, private investigator, walking around Toontown.
I think that could be dangerous for the actress. I think they already have to keep Red up on a balcony and not let anyone near her.
There are reasons why we can't have nice things.
Exactly.
But that's everything that I had before the big main attraction this week. And before we get into that, fingers crossed this works, let's have a word from our sponsor.
Here at Destinations with Character Travel, we offer the best experience with your travels. Need to visit the thrilling Disneyland Resort, Walt Disney World? Maybe lounge about on a Disney cruise or any other major cruise line? No problem. So if you're looking for a stress and hassle-free vacation, visit us at www.destinationswithcharacter.com. Contact us today and let us plan a magical vacation for you and your family.
It's time for the main attraction!
And this week's main attraction is something I feel like Seth will rejoice upon forever and ever, except for when they make him rewrite his book. Stand By Q is finally coming to Star Wars: Rise of the Resistance at Hollywood Studios. That was the first thing I thought of, by the way, when I got this news and had to write it up, was like, Seth's gonna have to rewrite his book.
I'm so glad that someone else is responsible for the Walt Disney World information. Someone else handles that book. Len
Okay.
Testa's got to deal with that one.
Oh,
But
yes.
I saw this news and I was desperately reading this, like, Disney World only, Disney World only, Disney World. Oh, thank God. But of course, as soon as it's absolutely too late to change anything, they're going to announce, oh yeah, Disneyland too, I'm sure. No, this is not one that I saw coming.
Me
Yeah,
neither.
we've there's basically like a cottage industry has built up around like people trading the forbidden knowledge of how to get a Rise of the Resistance boarding pass. And the fact that they are dropping the boarding passes before announcing a start date for the paid lightning lanes, which we all know are coming for this attraction, kind of blows my mind. So it means that there's going to be a gap, a window here where it's, no fast pass, no boarding passes, no lightning lane, just a standby line. And we'll finally get to see what this attraction is really capable of doing in terms of throughput when you don't play any of those line management games. What are people really willing to wait for this? Because we've never really known. This is the only attraction, that's never been seen with a standby line. So we've never really been able to judge what its true capacity and true popularity is. So I am fascinated. I'm going to be watching from afar, checking the app time, because I don't want to be there on the first day. But I'll give it a couple days to shake out, and then I'm going to see how many times I can ride this in one day.
Oh my God. Do you have a record?
My record for riding this in
Oh,
one
it's
day
just
is
once?
twice. Is
Twice,
twice.
okay.
On the very, very first day, they did not enforce a rule yet that you could only get a boarding pass once per day. On the very first day, I was like one of the first, I don't know, dozen boarding groups. And
Oh,
by the
wow.
time I scanned in, there were still boarding groups for late that night available. So I was one of the very few people who got to ride twice in one day before they very quickly close that loophole forever.
This change starts on September 23rd, and I've seen people suppose online as to whether this will be the same date the Lightning Lane starts.
Oh God. Oh. Lord help guest services people. If they do both of these on the same day, they're going to be jumping off the buildings. They're just it's going to be a massacre. Please, please, Disney, roll this out incrementally. Don't make your poor guest services people deal with everything on the same day.
I assume that it would start on October 1st.
Yeah, well, the apparently the whole world starts or ends on October 1st. So kind of shocked that they're not piling it onto that date, but really, they got to stagger some of this stuff,
Yeah.
because September 23rd is also, it seems like a bunch of stuff on that day. Every day for the next week seems to be something big going on.
I know this is going to be controversial, but would you rather have a boarding group than have to wait in line or pay for a lightning lane?
It's a tough one. If the standby line is going to perpetually be 4 hours, then yeah, I'd rather have a boarding group. But I'd be willing to wait. You know, an hour to 90 minutes is kind of my breaking point for a really great ride.
Yeah.
You know, for something as good as Rise of the Resistance, you know, I'm not going to do it every single time I go to the park. But, you know, the freedom to be able to know, well, you know, if, as long as I'm willing to invest that time, I know I'm going to be able to ride it. I'd take that over the stress of waking up at 7 a.m., and then not knowing whether I'm going to get a really early boarding group and then I got to jump in the shower and drive and get to the park for rope drop, or go back to sleep and sleep in because I've got a late boarding pass. You know, if it was a little bit more predictable, if I could join a lottery, you know, the week before, and then it just notifies me in the morning whether I got it or not, instead of having to stab a button exactly at 7 a.m., there's better ways to do the boarding pass system, but based on what boarding pass is now, I'd rather try standby for a while.
Trying to get a boarding group at park open and seeing people either scream with joy or be really, really sad and wail in agony.
You know, it's interesting now that it's, you know, 7 a.m. people are doing it from their bedrooms. It's different than when it was when you had to get inside the park first, and then it was kind of like this communal experience, and it was like a cross between a football game and a group orgasm, and it got kind of savage, like people screaming, people booing, people crying. I'm kind of gonna miss that.
Yeah, really. And then, running to the different parts of the park that everyone says that the signal is best.
Yes, exactly.
I always was told, Launch Bay was, the place to go.
Yes, by Disney Junior. We, touring plans, did a bunch of testing, and we found that was consistently the best spot. But honestly, doing it from your bedroom is probably the best.
Unless you're me. And your internet goes out all
true,
the time.
True.
But I'm interested to
don't
see
do it from Brittany's bedroom. Do it from your own bedroom. Do not go to Brittany's bedroom.
If I find you in my bedroom, one, I'm calling the police.
Yes.
Two, I'm going to take that boarding group from you.
They're non-transferable. I'm sorry.
I will call guest services. But that's everything. We made it through the show. I think
and came in right under the wire. This is a perfect hour show.
There
see, I have not lost my my touch. Even though I'm gone for a couple weeks, I'm a little rusty. We still got it.
I just need to get my end in gear. This is the point of the show where if we had any listener thank yous, I would be thanking them. But we don't.
Well, no thank you. No, but we do thank you for your continued support and encourage you to please consider joining us, our club, our VIP subscriber levels. You will get a shout out. You will get all sorts of things that Brittany would be telling you about. She has them memorized. I don't have them in the script. But since she's dropped, I can hear her.
Hello,
again,
can
so
you
she can
hear
tell
me?
You all about them.
Yes.
I can hear you now.
Oh, thank goodness. If you head over to attractionsmagazine.com/store and you choose either club or VIP of the four tiers of our subscription plan, you subscribe, you get a shout out from me and Seth on this great podcast that definitely.
And we promise it will be a much better shout out than whatever this was right here.
And while you're over there, you can also pick up our fall issue, which just came out, as well as choose a digital subscription if you're interested and don't want to have a paper thing. Save some trees, read it on your phone.
Yes, and... please save the trees, because those sequoias are in danger of burning down. It's really sad. Save trees wherever you can.
Yes.
And at this point, I want to first of all say one more thanks to our sponsor, Destinations with Character Travel. And I want to also remind you to please head on over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts and give us a 5-star rating. Also, please leave us a review and share the good word about Attractions Magazine, our podcast, our blog, our Twitter feed, you know, our at-home meal delivery service.
That's not a thing.
Oh, we have a TikTok. I'd rather have an at-home meal delivery service than a TikTok. We are not encouraging anyone to rip soap dispensers off their middle school bathroom walls, even though we have a TikTok. Just want to make that clear.
Well, Theron's in charge of the TikTok, so...
And at this time, I'm going to tell you where you can find me on the interwebs. You can find me at theunofficialguides.com, at the UG series on Twitter, or at the unofficial guides on Instagram. And Brittany, if you are back from robot speaking land, where can they find you?
Hello, testing. Can you hear me? You can find me at Brittany Tuttle on Twitter and Instagram. That's BrittanyTuttle. Yes, it's spelled funny. As well as every day at attractionsmagazine.com, at attractions on Twitter, at attractionsmagazine on Instagram, and youtube.com/attractionsmagazine, where you've been hanging out with us and putting up with my technical difficulties for the past hour. And until
it was
next.
Fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
It gave a little variety to it. Of course, with my luck, when you record, when you look at the feed, it will have like clean audio from your side. So I will seem like the idiot for talking over you when everyone else could hear you on the podcast.
Maybe that was my plan all along. And until next week, I hope you guys try something new, stay safe, but most importantly, have fun. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.